Welcome into this Friday edition of Coffee and Football. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel. Bobby Burton is at a UT event in Austin, may join us for a few minutes here. No, he was not in the car with Scotty Scheffler at Valhalla. He's in Austin at a UT event there for Texas One Fund, so golf tournament there in Austin today. He may jump in and join us. Obviously, we're taking all your questions today. I have about 10 or 12 questions starred already, and they all have the same name. DeCorian Moore, DK Moore, D period Moore, all of it. Yeah, they're all here. We got all your questions. Good morning from the steps of Duncanville High, UT boy. That's pretty funny. Do they have big bass around there? Are you fishing this morning? Tell us where you're checking in from. And we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're going to be talking about DeCorian Moore. We'll talk about the receiver position in general. I was out at Alief Hastings to see Smith Orogbo, the four-star edge, yesterday. And I went to Fort Bend Marshall to see Caleb Chester. We'll have some video interviews with those guys this weekend. We can talk about all that. CJ's been on the road. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about Scotty Scheffler and him being detained and arrested, I guess, by Louisville police this morning around Valhalla. There was a pedestrian that was hit by a shuttle bus around 5:30 this morning. That pedestrian died at the scene. And I guess I wasn't there, obviously, so we're going with what's been reported. But Scotty Scheffler is kind of driving through the media and around this police area. And when he wasn't supposed to be, they told him to stop, kept going. I'm not saying he was in the wrong. I'm just telling y'all what's out there. He was detained by police, ultimately arrested. I think he's on his way to the course now. You guys will hear before I do if he makes the tee time this morning. But, so it's been that's not what I expected to wake up and read this morning. I'll tell you that. I think Bobby's joining us is joining us a little bit. There's Bobby from the car. Bobby, is this the first time you're reporting from the car?
This is the first time I'm from the command center, Jerry. No doubt. Hey, I'm out here at the UT Golf Club today for the Texas One Fund fundraiser. It's a golf scramble. A friend of mine invited me to be part of a foursome. And so I'm out here. I already ran into Chris Gilbert, one of the special assistants, the head coach at the University of Texas. Steve Sarkisian, I believe, is on his way out here. Going to be, I think, 100-plus Longhorns playing in this event to benefit NIL. Hopefully tomorrow on the Saturday conversation, I'm expected to have a talk with the head of Texas NIL efforts, and that is Patrick Wheels Smith, the chairman, president of Texas One Fund. So interesting weekend for the Longhorns as they try to raise money to get better recruits, to get better teams, et cetera. But a lot of fun out here. It should be a gorgeous day today after yesterday. Man, I had some friends in Houston.
That was bad. That
literally were brutalized last night with the storm. So, all right. Have a good one. Guys, I'm going to have to get going. Actually, there's some folks coming up to me right now. I just want to say hi and hook them. Jerry, y'all have a good one. CJ, y'all take care. And talk all about DeCorian Moore, because I think that's what I'm going to talk about on the golf course this morning.
Yeah, there will be a few questions about DeCorian Moore, I'm quite sure. All right, thank you, Bobby. Before we get to all your DeCorian Moore questions, and there's going to be a lot of them. We're going to get to all of them. And we have an hour to talk about one player if you want to, or other players. It's up to you guys. I want to take a second for BKCW, the sponsor of the Friday Coffee and Football. Today's show is being brought to you by BKCW Insurance. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it's time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing zero value and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management counseling, not just price quoting, operating out of their headquarters in Austin, Texas, and owned by a UT graduate. BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. Doesn't that sound great? I think it does. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation companies to nonprofits and school districts. So you get matched up with someone who knows your risks and can help you escape that insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at BKCW.com or send an email to info@BKCW.com to get started and get the support you deserve. All right, CJ, it's time to dive in. Let's just go right to these questions. Well, somebody said good morning from the Amalfi Coast in Italy on vacation. OTF is great. Keep it up. I got to start with that one because I'm so jealous. Congrats to you on the vacation. That's amazing. Here's an update on DeCorian Moore. Obviously, DeCorian Moore decommitted from LSU. I think any Texas fan that's been following this recruitment knew this was coming. It was just a matter of when. But he announced his decommitment last night. I have another update on this. He was scheduled to be at Oregon this weekend. I texted with a family member last night and said they are not visiting Oregon this weekend. So that is another little piece to this. And we'll see. Can plans change? It's recruiting, right? Plans can change. But he's not scheduled any longer to visit Oregon this weekend. Does that mean a commitment or something's imminent to Texas? We're not saying that on Texas football. There'll be June official visits. He'll have a final decision before his senior season. CJ, the one thing I've been consistent with, and so there's this question, did DK Moore cancel his visit to Oregon? As of last night, he was not going to make that visit. We'll see if that changes today. The one thing I've been consistent with in this recruitment is kind of my best way of telling fans this, and the best way I can is that's not the only commitment video a guy that's ranked top 5 or 10 in the country in his class is going to make. I mean, that's just not how this goes down. His final decision will be a big announcement, probably at Duncanville High School, similar to Colin Simmons. But that was not the way that recruitment was going to end, CJ.
No, definitely. And when you consider all the programs that were still, you know, kind of nipping and clawing away at that commitment to LSU at the moment, you consider Oregon, Ohio State, Texas. I mean, that's a lot to ask for, Jerry. And to your point, it certainly felt like there was just a matter of time in which we felt that that recruitment would open back up. Of course, he was on campus at Texas a number of times, one for the state relays, the other for the Texas relays. Of course, was scheduled to come down for the spring game as well. Didn't make it in, but just the continued, you know, kind of effort to get down to Austin this year kind of speaks in which Texas was recruiting him a little bit. Ohio State feels confident. I know I talked to Devin Sanchez a little bit at the Texas Relays as well. He feels like Ohio State has a great chance at flipping him. He's been in his ear, obviously. The two go back very, very far with their on-field rivalry, quote-unquote. They have a good friendship off the field as well. They've been recruiting him heavily. Obviously, Oregon feels like they have an opportunity here as well. But again, now that this recruitment's open, we'll see just how things go going into the summer months. Of course, we believe he will be on campus June 21st through 23rd for his official visit. We'll see when he officially releases those dates, Jerry, but that's the time in which we expect him to be back on campus for the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, we'll see if that date holds for DeCorian Moore. One of the issues why he hadn't released his official visit dates, for those wondering, is June 7th through 9th is the OT7 National Finals in 7-on-7. He wants to play in that. Understandably, he's going to play in that. So that knocks out a big visit weekend, right? Well, you have Texas, you have Oregon, and you have Ohio State. The key there with Oregon, I think, is Oregon offered Keelan Russell recently, and Oregon's working on getting Keelan Russell in June 21st through 23rd. So would they visit on the same weekend? I don't think one recruitment has anything to do with the other, honestly. But would they go visit on the same visit on the same weekend? We shall see. Look, DeCorian Moore just tweeted 2 minutes ago, my recruitment has not opened up. To me, that means, you know, he's down to a few. He's down to probably 3 schools, right? I mean, that just – what the key is, he's not going to be taking calls from all these new schools, people trying to get him to come on visits, right? Because his phone will blow up, and that's not what's going to happen here with this recruitment. This is Texas. This is Ohio State. This is Oregon. And we'll see. We'll see how long DeCorian's process plays out here. By the way, hook him from Perdido Key, man. A great little spot there for Texas fans with the SEC. Now in the SEC, if you've never been to Florabama, to go watch some SEC games, that's a great spot, by the way. Was there last year in September, a couple weeks after Texas beat Bama. That was a hell of a lot of fun to watch college football there. We have some questions here. DK Moore versus Jeremiah Smith. That's an interesting one. Jeremiah Smith, obviously from Chaminade Madonna, freshman receiver at Ohio State. DeCorey Moore is a higher level athlete. DeCorey Moore is about as high level athlete as you'll ever see playing the wide receiver position. Jeremiah Smith has tremendous size, great catch radius, different receivers. I would say that definitely different receivers. We have a lot of questions about Devin Sanchez. Texas remains interested in Devin Sanchez. Whenever Texas calls, Devin Sanchez always answers the phone. Texas just hasn't made any traction with Devin Sanchez. And I'm just here to tell you, they talked to him within the last 2 weeks, but there's hadn't been any traction there. And that includes Steve Sarkisian. So we'll see if anything changes there. Living rent-free in UT, Texas should get two or three more French lock. And I actually just put up a receiver in tears post story on TexasFootball.com there. What's interesting about the receiver position is I was at two high schools recently where there's four-star, five-star receivers at that Texas has offered and has a very good shot at. One of those coaches said in a discussion with Texas a few weeks ago that Chris Jackson was very honest, said DeCorian Moore is here in this tier. Ink is dry recruitment. Then there was a tier of about three other guys, right? Jamie French. Kalik Lockett, Kelshawn Johnson. And then you have some other guys that have official visits scheduled. Marcus Harris, 21st through 23rd. Then you have Andrew Marsh, 14th through 16th. Dalen McCutcheon, 14th through 16th. Chris Jackson was at Lancaster last week to take another look at Emmanuel Choice. Texas likes Emmanuel Choice a lot. Problem is, it's a tremendous year at wide receiver. It always is, but when you're in on a couple of national names as well, it's a tremendous year at wide receiver. So it'll be interesting to see which way that goes. But I do think here's the way I would say DeCorian Moore has a spot till signing. They won't need it. He makes a final decision before his senior season. Jamie French definitely has a spot in the class. I think Texas is a good spot for him. Kalik Lockett, he's visiting FSU, A&M, LSU, Texas, right, or his visits. Then you have Kelshawn Johnson, who I believe that I was over at Hitchcock Wednesday. I guess it was Wednesday or Tuesday it was. And I believe he's still a Texas lean over USC, A&M, and Texas Tech. So I think Texas, in my estimation, they probably end up with two or three of those four. And if you end up with that, you had a hell of a class to start. Texas could take three. They could take four receivers in the class, CJ. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go. If it's the correct four, then they'll take four. Randy Effridge, Lockett not going to the same school as French. That's kind of where I lean as well.
I was going to say, Jerry, the work that Texas has done in that wide receiving group over the spring, I thought was tremendous. Of course, you were on the outside of Jamie French's top three coming into his unofficial visit. All of a sudden, you know, you're up there near the top. I'm not quite yet ready to say that they are the clear pole position leader, but I would say they're certainly in that battle for that one or two spot at the moment. Of course, that all stemmed from Texas getting him on campus, allowing him to, you know, kind of mingle around with the coaching staff, see the facility, see the stadium, see the city. It certainly helps in that regard. Of course, Kalik Lockett, Kelshawn Johnson visited multiple times, and now DeCorian Moore opening things back up. It certainly makes sense to me that things are moving in the right direction at the right receiver spot at the moment. And of course, it helps when you send three guys to the NFL in a single draft. And we know Sarkisian's offense isn't going to disappear anytime soon with the quarterbacks that they're recruiting. Right now, things are moving very well on the 2025 wide receiving front in my eyes.
A few super chats here. Shannon Hansen, thank you very much for that. Good morning from Tulsa, home from Pakistan. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for being a part of On Texas Football here. Over 46,600 subscribers, guys. Our 50,000 party is going to be fun. Our 100,000 party is going to be legendary. All right, Jack Valala, we hear a lot of talk about the failings of our red zone, but what were our stats last season for our red zone defense, and will we be good this year? CJ, I don't know if you have stats off the top of your head. We may need to come back to that one on red zone efficiency on offense and defense.
Yeah, I'll address that a little bit later in the year. Of course, Texas's offense was not good. The defense in those clutch situations, you know, third downs, fourth downs, red zone, they were much better than what they were in 2022. Of course, Texas had the best third down defense in the entire country a year ago, one of the biggest issues that we faced 2 years ago, which gives me reason for optimism when it comes to the red zone offense. You know, when Texas has had those issues of whether holding on leads in 2021, 2022, it got a little bit better. 2023, it was superb. Now we're seeing Texas address those offseason issues from a year ago. Whenever there's a clear theme of an issue in years past, Sarkisian and his staff have addressed it moving into the next fall. So right now there's a step in the right direction I thought was taken in the spring when it comes to the red zone offense. We didn't necessarily hear about the offense dominating the defense like we thought we would until they got into the red zone. So that's certainly encouraging. The running game was dominant. Quinn looked a little bit better as well, making decisions in quick, short, immediate areas as well. So it's an improvement. Will that be the case in 2024? We'll have to see, but certainly took steps in the right direction. And of course, the defense, if we've seen that trend continue from 2023, it's going to be another solid year there.
My take on the red zone offense has been this from last year to this season coming up. Everybody, I think, wants the point to. Or a lot of people want to say, how many touchdown passes will Quinn have? Here's my take on it. The less touchdown passes for Quinn, the better Texas is going to be running the ball in the red zone. That's where I want the big step to be in the red zone, because I think with so many times, especially with Quinn, we're looking at touchdowns, interceptions, yards, and things like that. Got to throw more touchdowns in the red zone. I want Texas to run the football better in the red zone. I think is going to be a key for the Longhorns this season. Is experienced offensive line, really good stable of backs. I want to see Texas run the ball more effectively in the red zone this year. I think if that becomes the case, that Texas is going to have a really, really good season. Rudy Serta, what happened with Jordan Davison? I'm a little behind. Look, Jordan Davison is one recruit that, Ohio State, great program, right? So we're not taking anything. Jordan Davison, not scared of competition. I'm not saying that. Travion Henderson, Quinshaw Judkins are going to the NFL after this year at Ohio State. It's known by everybody. Ohio State's very inviting for a running back. And that's one. Look, Tashard Choice is a great recruiter, and we've talked about it before. You're eventually going to get beat in recruiting. And there's a easier, quicker path to the field. And that doesn't mean Jordan Davison's not competitive. He is a competitor. But Texas has Jaden Blue, may go pro. He may not. We'll see what kind of year he has. Cedric Baxter's back. Christian Clark's a freshman. Trey Weiser's a sophomore. Jarrett Gibson's a freshman. There's a better opportunity if that is what you want. If that's your number one goal, Jordan Davison sees a better path at a couple other schools to the field early versus Texas. Nobody can fault the guy for that. That doesn't mean he's running from competition at all. The guy's a competitor. He's one of the best backs in the country. He may just want to put himself on a different timeline at a different school for getting on the field and how much he gets on the field. UT boy, thank you very much for that. The super chat. Colin Simmons has been saying, don't worry, DeCorian is coming. We'll see. We'll see what happens there long term. And
Jerry, Colin jumped on Instagram Live last night after the news and actually, all the comments flooded about DeCorian Moore, and he made it known that, yeah, he's coming. He's coming. So that's his words, and we'll see, obviously. Obviously, the two are very close. Whenever DeCorian was down here for the Texas UIL state track meet, he spent a lot of time with Colin Simmons, who was there to watch him run in that 4x1 and 4x2 units as well. So we'll see, but a lot of confidence coming from his good friend Colin Simmons.
And I posted thoughts on DeCorian Moore on TexasFootball.com this morning. Texas is I don't think people in Austin were surprised by the decommitment. I'll say that. I actually put the percentages. I had it 51% after the April visit, despite being committed to LSU. I now have them at 65% for Texas. I think there's a lot of confidence on the Texas side there. And we'll see. Naaman Roberts, Jerry, CJ, does Moore see a logical spot, seeing that a lot of our current receivers are one and done this year? Look, I think absolutely, right? I mean, that's why Texas was inviting to Ryan Wingo high school ranks, right? And the portal guys, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, those guys, with Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell moving on to the NFL. The expectation is that Texas will lose a couple of guys to the NFL after this year, Isaiah Bond being one of those. Can he elevate himself to a first-round pick? Is he a second-round pick? We'll see. The season will determine that. His athleticism and what he could do at the combine will scream first-round, but see if he backs that up on the field to that level. He's going to be a third-round pick at worst, probably second-round pick at worst. He's just too fast, too athletic. But can he elevate himself to a first-round pick? So, yeah, there's that. Silas Bolden coming in, one-year player out. Matthew Golden wants to be a one-year player and out. We'll see what happens, right, with that. So, yeah, I think, look, the other thing with a guy like DeCorian Moore, though, his level. Now, he's a different level than even a Jordan Davison is, okay? DeCorian Moore is a super freak. I haven't hid my opinion on that. He's a super freak, man. You go, you qualify for four things at the state track meet as a junior. And the only reason you didn't make five is because 10-4-5, which is exceptional for a junior in high school, doesn't get you out of the region and region two. Okay, so he was legitimately good enough to compete in five events at the state track meet. If he lived in region three, four, or one, he was at the state meet in the 100 as well. So, but he's part of those relay teams. He long jumps. I mean, he is a super freak. So I think he's a guy that looks at this as, I'm going to go in and play wherever I go, man. You aren't stopping me because I think I'm better than everybody else. And I believe I'm better than everybody else. So he's got that talent. That's the rare talent. That's the Adrian Peterson talent of the world, man, where those super freaks are just like, that's another level. So whoever's there at a school, I don't think it has any bearing on DeCorian Moore. He just believes he's better than everybody else. Hey, here's one for you, CJ. I think it's big. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. How big of a deal is Quinn being on the cover for the EA Sports College Football Game in 25?
Well, it's a ton of free publicity. It's free marketing. It's a great nod for the University of Texas to have under their belt as well. And when you consider it's the first game in over a decade, and it might be the most sold sports game in recent memory. I mean, there's a Burnt Horns logo. There's a Longhorn logo. There's Quinn Ewers. That's the face of your franchise, your program, being distributed across the entire country millions of times. So I think it's massive for the University of Texas. Of course, it might not be too long until we get to see another Longhorn grace the cover. But for now, for Quinn, very cool for him. Of course, for the university, I talked about it a little bit yesterday on TexasFootball.com. You know, you look at it, Jerry, whether it be the combine, the draft, the spring game, and now the cover of the sports video game, Texas has continued, like, they've done very well. They've tremendously taken advantage of every opportunity this spring. And I think right now you're starting to see the national prominence return to Texas. I know that they were just in the top four of the college football playoff a year ago, but this has been that consistency that we've been waiting to see year in, year out. 12-2 is great. College football playoff is great. Can you build on that? Can you maximize the opportunity? Right now, Texas is doing exactly that. And obviously in the fold for a big five-star wide receiver, DeCorian Moore. Again, things are moving in the right direction on all fronts in the Texas football program.
Yeah, so that, absolutely. Look, and that cover is so interesting to me because it really screams where we're at in college sports now. Michigan national champion, right? Do they have a marquee player to put on it? Not necessarily. Donovan Edwards, very good, though, NFL draft pick. Then you have Quinn, right, University of Texas, Power of Texas. I mean, look, third-year starter, Carson Beck, obviously he's going to be your two-starter. But then you have Travis Hunter. And Deion Sanders was NIL before there was NIL. So I always give him a tip of the cap for, you know, he was way ahead of his time as far as NIL goes. But the power of what Deion's done in college football is very interesting because Travis Hunter obviously broke FSU hearts when he went to Jackson State. And then he follows Deion from Jackson State to Colorado. Well, think about the publicity that Colorado has gotten and how some of those players have benefited from that in the NIL, or obviously Shedeur Sanders, but Travis Hunter as well. But Deion's walking NIL, man. It's wild to see what he does. But that cover just kind of where we're at in college sports now, because Travis Hunter's on a 4-8 team, and he's on the cover. Great player. But he's on the cover. So it kind of tells you where we're at in college sports right now. But that's great for the University of Texas. Quinn, it's a huge honor for him. And the crazy thing about this video game is I was in two coaches, high school coaches' offices this week, and the 40-somethings like me coaches were talking about it. They're going to get the game, right?
They're excited, Jerry. I'm telling you.
Everybody's excited. So that's actually really, really cool.
Rod Babers, who was in the game, is telling me he hasn't played it in years, obviously, and he's looking at it like, hey, I can't wait for this game to come back. Oh, and Texas is already using this to their advantage in recruiting. We saw some graphics sent out yesterday, one to Jamie French, another to Lance Jackson, in which Texas used the idea of being on the cover of the game in their recruitment, putting their logo, putting their jerseys, their names on the cover and sending it out. It's unique, and it's something that only Texas, Colorado, and Michigan at the moment can take advantage of. And credit to the UT Markets Department and obviously the recruiting folks over there, because they're doing a great job, and it's a great opportunity, and they're taking advantage of it.
I'm going to reset the show. We got a lot of questions about DeCorian Moore. We're going to get to all of them. We're here for an hour to talk about it today. We know it's going to dominate conversation. Obviously, DeCorian Moore, resetting the show, decommits from LSU last night. Somebody in the circle told me not visiting Oregon this weekend is originally scheduled, and I think people are jumping to some conclusions from that. Look, Texas, Ohio State, top two, right? Oregon, Rashad Samples obviously being at Oregon. Oregon just offered Keelan Russell. They're trying to get Keelan Russell up in late June 21st through 23rd or 14th through 16th. So we'll see when DeCorian Moore visits. I don't think they're a package deal at all. I don't want people to take that, take what I'm saying and run with that. That's all I'm saying. DeCorian Moore is going to make his own decision independent of anybody else. That he did it the first time. He's going to do it again. But that commitment to LSU, that video wasn't how his recruitment was going to end. I've been saying that since that video happened. That's not the way a top 10 player, that's not the last you see of a commitment video of a top 10 player in the country. Wasn't going to happen. His next announcement, I'm sure, will be at Duncanville, similar to Colin Simmons, before his senior season. That's been the plan all along. Texas will get an official visit. Obviously, a lot of family in Austin. Mom went to old Lanier High School in Austin. Grandmother, I believe, a lot of family members still in Austin, went to the University of Texas. So DeCorian Moore has been in Austin more than everywhere else. Obviously, Jeff Banks did a great job with Colin Simmons' recruitment, and there's no reason to think he's not doing a great job with DeCorian Moore's recruitment as well up there in the DFW area. I was at Alif Hastings yesterday to see Smith Irogbe. I mean, DeCorian Moore's, he's still in the news, as he should. Great, great prospect, and that's big news. But Smith Irogbe, four-star edge, high upside as a pass rusher, guys. High upside. Jeff Banks, Pete Kwiatkowski were at the school Thursday morning. I just so happened, I went by to school Thursday for their athletic period at 11. Got a good 10-minute sit-down interview with Smith Irogbe. I think Texas and Oklahoma are the top two. Texas Tech's third. He's going to visit all of those schools. He goes to Kansas and Missouri as well for official visits. So he's got a full official visit slate. I think Texas, Oklahoma is where this thing ultimately comes down to. Unless A&M can move their way back into it, but I don't see that happening. But parents, big on academics, football. Hey, if football happens, great. But this is an academic-minded family. Smith Irogbe definitely cares about football. He has an NFL goal. He's starting to see what he can become. Was 6'4", 203, 204 his junior season on that huddle tape. He's now 220. Looked explosive in the weight room, long arms. His best football is way out in front of him, but he has some gifts coming off the edge that are hard to coach.
Jerry, I wanted to ask you real quick about Smith Irogbe. Is it fair to say he's the most raw of the bunch that Texas is going after at the moment? And also, where does his ceiling kind of stack up? Because Texas is going after some pretty talented guys there. I wanted to get your thoughts after seeing him in person again yesterday.
Yeah, so I say raw physically because he just started playing football 2 years ago. I asked him what sport it'll be in the interview. I asked him what he loved growing up, and he was just like, I played some basketball in the neighborhood, but he wasn't really a sports guy as far as youth sports, as far as middle school sports. He just started playing football. This will be his third year playing this year. So he is raw physically. So he has a frame. I don't know if he kind of is as broad as there. Here's Smith Irogbe. Now you're going to see a blur coming off the edge. This guy can bend naturally. He comes off the ball high, but look at his body quickness, his reactive quickness, his change of direction. He has an 80-inch wingspan. He's got 10-inch hands. But he isn't – where Zena grew up, kind of in that working out with Neto and then working out with Nathan Daughtry at the facility in McKinney where Riley Pettijohn, Xavier Filsimi workout. So Zena, while 6'5", 230, 225, 230, 240, he had more definition already. Smith Orogbo isn't there physically, but Smith Orogbo coming off the ball, the ability to rush the passer, especially as he continues to develop, I think he may be the best pass rusher Texas is recruiting this year just from the natural gifts that you can develop. There just aren't many guys with that first and second step quickness and that ability to react and change direction. And really, this was his first year of being a productive football player and actually believing last year, oh, I got a chance to do this. I expect him to make a huge jump from junior to senior year. Look, his shoulders are above his butt. So when he learns to put his asses above his shoulders and that's how you get great get off, he's going to take off. He's going to go to the next level as a pass rusher. There you see a little bit better there as far as the butt and the shoulders. But at times those shoulders are above his butt in his stance. So as quick and as good an athlete as he is, he's not maximizing his get off. Once he starts maximizing his get off and using the hand strength he has, the length, this guy's going to be a dynamite pass rusher. I'm telling you, there's a reason Texas and Oklahoma are fighting it out for him. Then I was at Fort Bend Marshall yesterday afternoon to see Caleb Chester, the corner. Texas fans, y'all are going to love. And hey, look, if you're an A&M fan or an Arkansas fan, those are the three official visits. He already visited TCU. You are going to love the Caleb Chester interview. This kid is very football-minded kid. He's sitting there talking about different coverages and how he plays in the coverages. It was an extremely, and I'm not hyping this up, guys, it just kind of blew my mind, extremely impressive 13, 14-minute interview with Caleb Chester. He is a studier of film. He is a guy that takes football very serious. He was 6 foot, about 162 pounds as a junior here. He's 6 foot and a half, 175 now. And look, I think Texas really likes him. They sent Terry Joseph, Blake Gideon, and Johnny Nansen by the school on Tuesday to see Caleb Chester. He is a guy that Texas really likes at corner. The more they see him, the more they get to know him, as does Texas A&M. He visits Texas June 7th through 9th. Then he goes to A&M the 14th through 16th. Like I said, he already visited TCU, and he'll visit Arkansas as well. Corey Raymond by the school, still trying to get a visit. It doesn't look like right now he'll officially visit LSU, who's the fifth school in his final five. But this is a kid who's getting stronger. He really wants to be a good player, and you guys are going to love the interview with Caleb Chester this weekend. I think it's going to kind of change like everybody's kind of their own little personal cornerback board after they listen to Caleb Chester talk. They're going to know how important being a really good football player is to him. Those are the interviews that really impress me. All right, CJ, let's get to some more questions here. Jesse, this is a great one. Would a DeCorian Moore commitment 25 be the equivalent of Simmons in 24?
Yeah, I think it would go back to even Anthony Hill in 23, right? Those are your guys out of the DFW area that a lot of recruits look at and say, you know, their name carries a lot of weight. So to see where they end up and who they prioritize, that makes a pretty heavy trickle-down effect whenever you see them open up from an LSU and should Texas land them, that would be big. You know, that is the prime recruit out of the DFW area, probably in the class, because we've seen how Texas recruits DFW in the last couple of years. I like that comment because, again, Colin Simmons had a similar feel. You know, it was LSU way out in front early. Texas had to, you know, kind of claw their way back in. And we saw a commitment last year from Colin Simmons prior to that season starting for Duncanville. Will we see that happen again for DeCorian Moore? I guess we'll have to wait and see. DeCorian's comments certainly make it feel like his recruitment's down to a couple schools, if not one already. But right now, you look at Duncanville's top elite guys who knew that they were top elite guys coming into the year. More times than not, they get that decision out of the way before the season begins. So we'll see what happens with DeCorian. But certainly along the lines of a Colin Simmons and Anthony Hill, I know Arch was a little bit more on a national outside of Texas basis, but certainly in terms of the in-state guys, I would say absolutely I would agree with that.
Yeah, and so a couple of things here. Duncanville, the one thing to know why all these kids commit before their senior year is Reginald Samples, Coach Samples, love him. He doesn't want his kids taking visits during the season. And, you know, some people are like, well, why? That's recruiting. But here's the thing. When you have 30, 35 Division I prospects in your program, if you don't keep them all in the area, you don't have your Saturday morning get-togethers, you know, for your team after a game Friday night. Those guys are scattered around the country on visits all the time. So there's a method to his madness at Duncanville, and I actually agree with it. If I was the head coach at Duncanville, I would try – and no different than what Modern Day does with all their guys. IMG guys normally go more on during the off week than they do during the season. When you have that many Division I players, the last thing you want as a coach and a coaching staff is those guys that – after a Friday night game, they leave and they scatter around the country. I mean, that makes for some, during the season, some difficult nights, difficult days, and tougher preparation. So
you'll see a film room at Duncanville looking very thin with all those kids and how many schools that they could visit during the school year.
No doubt. And hey, on the Simmons recruitment, I'll say this. I think Simmons recruitment was bigger because – look, he had always said he was going to the SEC. In Texas, if there's one position, and DeCorey Moore's a super freak, don't get me wrong, but if there was one position that Texas had to make an impact in that class, if there's a great edge prospect in the state of Texas and he's at a power school like Duncanville, you can't lose that guy to LSU or Alabama or whoever it is, Georgia. I mean, he visited all of them, right? But he was going to LSU, if not Texas. So Texas, that was a must-get recruit for Texas in the 24 class. As super freak as DeCorian Moore is he a must-get recruit? In Sark's mind, he is. Is it the same level as what Colin Simmons did for Texas, I think? Maybe a little bit behind that, but Colin Simmons going to Texas, all these things paved the way for other guys in some way. And DeCorian makes his own decision. But that's just the best. So we way I could say, Vivek, he has a question here. Vivek B, is Moore a better wide receiver prospect than Hudson and Garrett? Well, Hudson's not even in DeCorian Moore's radar. Garrett Wilson's a freak too, okay? So that's a comparable one. I mean, how talented Garrett Wilson is, I'll always remember this, with Garrett Wilson is, he played for T.J. Ford's AAU team. And I asked T.J. Ford, I called him one day and I said, T, how good is Garrett Wilson? And T.J. doesn't give out a lot of compliments, guys. He said, if Garrett quit football and just trained for basketball, he'd be a pro.
Wow.
He's 6 feet tall. There aren't many of those guys. So that's how elite Garrett Wilson is. I think DeCorian Moore is faster, maybe, as an athlete. And I know what Garrett did at Combine, everything. I'm just talking total faster athlete, especially at that age. Garrett Wilson's a freak as well. So you're kind of, you know.
I wanted to ask you, Jerry, who are the most athletic wide receivers you've seen? Because for me, seeing DeCorian Moore, I would put him in that conversation. Yeah. Evan Stewart was in that conversation. I believe it or not, I mean, Damon Demis, back when he was in high school, he was an athletic freak in my eyes as well. Those, to me, are probably the three that I've seen, but you've obviously been around this a little bit longer than I have. Who stands out for you in that regard?
Well, Bobby brought up Julio Jones. He was a total freak show when you saw how big Julio Jones was and the move the way he did. So there's some guys like that. Look, I wasn't around for the Calvin Johnson days in this business, okay? I got in right when, you know, the A.J. Greens, the Julio Joneses, that's when I got into the national stuff, right? I mean, so I put DeCorian Moore, as far as guys in Texas athletically, he's in the super freak categories with Adrian Peterson, with T.J. Ford, with those level guys. That's the level athlete I think we're talking about. And I go back to this at Duncanville last year. I was sitting there in the spring, and there were 6, 7, 8 college coaches there, 2 or 3 OCs, and one OC I've known a long time. And DeCorian Moore came out a few minutes late because he'd been at some track stuff. And the first route he ran, the guy looks at me, the coach looks at me, said he just moves different than everybody else. And that's on the field with 25 Division I players, okay? He is just a little different than everybody else. And when you see him, CJ, I know you saw him. I tweeted out a photo of him. It's also on OnTexasFootball.com from their district track meet. He is a put-together kid now. He has added good weight. He's closing in on 185 pounds, so he's not the 160-pound guy out there running real fast. You say, what's he going to look like when he's 180, 185? The Corey Moore is put together now. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 5'11", one probably 180, 182 right now, closing on 185, that runs 10-4, that long jumps 24. And honestly, he doesn't really train for that. I mean, it's similar to Kelshon Johnson. I'll say Kelshon Johnson could run 10-3 if he trained to be fast. The Corian Moore trains to be fast more than Kelshon Johnson because Kelshon goes to basketball. But neither one of these guys are like training year-round to be as fast as possible. The Corian Moore, he's a super freak. There's no doubt about it. Jimmy Morgan, super chat. Rank Ryan. Ryan Wingo, the Corian Moore, Ryan Wingo, Evan Stewart, and DK Moore. Great question. Evan Stewart third on that list for me. And I think Evan Stewart's a tremendous talent. That's a good question. The Corian Moore athletically doesn't have many peers as an all-around athlete. Ryan Wingo, from an NFL perspective, he may have the highest ceiling of all those guys. Honestly, we'll see what happens because he has the size. Has the size, the catch radius, and he ran 10-6 in high school as a junior. So, CJ, that's a tough call. I mean, it's a flipping coin. Here's the thing for Texas fans. You just hope you get the chance to compare them in Texas uniforms. And then that'll be a fun discussion in 2 or 3 years.
We've seen the comments earlier today, Jerry. Should Texas end up with Corian Moore and he enroll, that group that Arch Manning will have year one, I mean, that's a special group of wide receivers, special group of playmakers around you, considering C.J. Baxter will still be around. You'll have Christian Clark, Jarrett Gibson in year two at least. Of course, Trey Wisner's coming along, and now Texas just added another running back with Ricky Stewart. I mean, it feels to me that that group is going to be very talented around Arch Manning, the offensive line. We've not seen really any significant departures from that room over the last 2 years as well. I know Christian Jones departed for the NFL, but hey, you're looking really good right now with the way that you're recruiting in that room. And of course, Arch, he has to be one of the happiest guys in the world to see the news from last night and think, hey, maybe Texas has another chance at adding a 5-star wide receiver to his passing game. That to me screams big points, big offense, explosiveness, points, a lot of fun for Texas fans over the next year.
UT boy, what do I tell Jonte? Well, you tell him it's his world, but maybe not on this chat today. It's DeCorian's world this morning. Zane Petty asks, when DK commits to Texas, would he be recruiting Russell of Texas? Look, I think that's totally different. I get where he's going. I know he's a big Keelan Russell fan. We'll see what happens with that. And what Texas does. AJ Milwee was by the school last week to watch Keelan in person, did talk to him. They didn't talk about timing of an offer or an official visit during that visit. We'll see what happens. AJ Milwee was at Sarah Land High Monday. KJ Lacey was tweeting after the Corian Moore's decommitment as well. Clark Douglas, super chat. Here we got a ton of super chats. A couple more super chats before I get to LSU getting manscaped in the recruiting trail. All right, Clark Douglas, thank you for the super chat. Does the Corian decommit from LSU if Colin goes there over Texas? I think their recruitments are independent of each other, but it kind of goes back to what we said earlier, CJ. Look, if Colin Simmons, why that was such a huge recruitment for Sark, Jeff Banks, everybody. If Colin Simmons goes to LSU, that definitely sets back Texas a little bit in DFW. There's certain, I call them must-get recruits, and I know in the chat people say there's no must-get recruits. Well, I mean, Rick Barnes thought T.J. Ford was. Vince Young ended up being a must-get recruit. There are certain must-get recruits. I mean, Nick Saban thought there were must-get recruits for him in the state of Alabama. He had to beat Auburn on certain guys and George in the competition. Colin Simmons was a must-get recruit to C.J., and if that had gone LSU's way, I don't think that means DeCorian Moore signs with LSU. But I think it makes the job more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. And especially considering, you know, Caden Durham, a good friend, also committed and signed to LSU at the moment. There's a lot of pull right now in that direction. Of course, that helped LSU secure the commitment from DeCorian Moore immediately. So to me, the idea that Texas was able to win that recruitment after winning the Anthony Hill recruitment, that then gives you the confidence that Texas can walk in and say, all right, we've been through this before. We understand what these top tier recruitments are like. We understand that you're going to have the opportunity to play at Texas as well. We're not going to shy away from that. But when you look at it, this the Colin Simmons recruitment kind of preceded what we're seeing right now with DeCorey Moore. And I think in a way, you know, kind of help prepare the staff for this with these big fights come in and say, hey, yeah, we're here to play. We're not going to be the old Texas in which these guys left the state willy-nilly. You're going to have to go pretty hard through us.
Yeah, and so David Cooley, DK Moore said in a tweet that his recruitment wasn't open. And this is, I think this is what our meaning is. That's the meaning with this is he's down to the same schools, right? I mean, that's not going to change. I think the key there is when you decommit from a school and you're somebody like DeCorey Moore, everybody, Alabama, Florida State, everybody's going to try to come in and take one more shot. I think DeCorey Moore is letting people know, no, I'm down to who I'm down to. Because his phone will, in his text, everything will be flooded for him and his family. So I think DeCorey Moore is letting people know my recruitment's not wide open here. It's not. It's Texas, it's Ohio State, it's Oregon. It's like
entering the portal with a do not contact.
Right. Exactly. That's a great analogy, CJ. There you go. DeCorey decommitted with a do not contact. In fact, we should make that an edit. All right. Guys, it's that time. Look, we got to talk about it. LSU got Manscaped, all right? They got the 5.0 taken to them in Duncanville last night. All right, hey there, beach babes. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your ultimate beach bod? Well, you're in luck because our friends at Manscaped have you covered from head to hairy toes. With the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, this ultimate all-in-one grooming kit is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code ONTEXAS, all caps. Let's make this summer the smoothest one yet. And you know I'm not going to finish this read, okay, without the all-important things added to it. The updated Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Growing and Body Hair Trimmer got a summer makeover. It's waterproof. I've tested that. It's true. Designed for splashy pool parties and beach hangouts. I mean, CJ takes his 5.0 to the pool parties. I guarantee you. Look. And hey, this is the one thing you can't forget. For those sunny beach days, don't leave home without the Crop Preserver, that anti-chafing ball deodorant. You got to have it. Let the sun see you shine. Not sweat. Manscaped on Texas, all caps. All right, there you go, guys. Manscaped it is. All right, the thigh slappers have never been better. All right, here we go. A couple more super chats here. We got a lot to get to. I'll reset the show in a second. We have 3,500 people online. By the way, everybody, thank you for subscribing, liking, and commenting all the time on Texas. We're at 46,600 plus. We're going to have a party at 50. We're going to have a bash at 100,000. Bobby's at a UT golf a bash right now for Texas One Fun in Austin. He joined us for a few minutes. He's going to have a Saturday morning conversation with Will Smith, who runs the Texas One Fun. So that'll be a good conversation on Saturday. But Bobby is not here because he's at a UT event. All right, Jack Lala, follow up super chat here. Unless I misheard, did one of you say that would have been me that if we get French, we won't get Lockett? Why? I just think, look, Texas won't get all those guys. I mean, at the end of the day, it becomes, look, if DeCorey Moore and Jamie French committed to Texas, if don't take it and run with it, if we're playing the if game, then look, at some point, guys are going to look around and say, I don't know. Maybe a better spot for me here because Ryan Wingo is a freshman. Jontae Cook's a sophomore. DeAndre Moore's a sophomore. There's talent at Texas. I mean, you recruited three straight top five classes going for four in a row. You're going to do work in the portal. There's talent at Texas at the wide receiver position. So at some point, you're not going to get all of them. Nobody does. I think I would say this. If Texas came away with three of these four guys, I think they've had an amazing wide receiver class. And I'm not saying anything negative about the other guys, but if they come away with three of these four, DeCorey Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett, Kelshawn Johnson, my pure opinion, that will be an unbelievable class at wide receiver. Unbelievable if they get three of those four. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not saying it's out of the question. Both couldn't end up at the same school. I'm not sure if that actually happens, though. You're not going to get them all. I think it's the bottom line. All right. So LJ says DK is not going to Ohio State. Ain't happening. Look, I tend to agree. We'll see what happens. So Mark Valdez, Sark is building an iron curtain around DFW area schools. CJ, that might be a story like to kind of redo. I did one of those a few months ago. Like the numbers in DFW area from the 22, 3, 4, and 25 commitments in those classes, I-20 separating it from I-20 to Allen McKinney up those areas, Fort Worth to separate it. But look, I mean, Jeff Banks was a huge hire for Steve Sarkisian, CJ. It was Jeff Banks' idea to bring in Chris Gilbert initially into that role. So great job in thinking mind by Jeff Banks in recruiting in the Dallas area on I-20. Chris Gilbert was gone for a year. Now he's back. So Texas has all the pieces and all the success in recruiting and on the field to continue to be a dominant force in DFW. And why it's so important, it holds Oklahoma back in DFW, and A&M is trying hard. They know DFW is big. They're trying hard to make a strong point in DFW this year. I think Texas is doing a great job in the battle so far.
Yeah, definitely. It's more important because when you look at DFW over the last decade or so, it's been a true melting pot with where these kids go. You know, Oklahoma has a stronghold in there. A&M, Texas has tried to get back up into that area. But then you look at Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, Texas Tech. I mean, there's no one area of DFW that feeds to a specific school. Yet Texas is trying to make those top guys understand that there's one spot for them. And so far over the last 2 to 3 years, they've done a tremendous job of landing just about whoever they wanted out of that area. You look at Colin Simmons, Jonte Cook, Anthony Hill, now potentially DeCorian Moore, Zena Umeozulu's in that spot as well. Parker Livingstone over the last year. They've done a tremendous job in DFW. And again, it's not an easy spot to have a lot of success recruiting because of how wide open it is. Yet Texas is having that continued success with the big dogs at the top of that list. And I just mentioned four or five five-stars right there in which Texas has had great success with or is in great spots to go ahead and add to that list. So it's a tremendous job in DFW. And right now, that's where you see the most talent, you know, the most big boys. You look again, Michael Fasusi, Lamont Rogers, some big bodies, the Coleman twins. It's a great spot to be recruiting very well at the moment. And those names carry a lot of weight. I know I've mentioned that before, but that means something when an Anthony Hill signs to Texas. It means something when a Colin Simmons signs to Texas. It goes a long way in those circles.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the talent in the 26 classes, I'm telling you, North Crowley, that's another growing area. North Crowley has 15, 17 D1 guys in that program now as well. So I-20 from Fort Worth to North Crowley, south there, boom, all the way across. Unbelievably talented area right now. Second most talented area in the country to Metro Atlanta for me. Obviously, Dade Broward, two neighboring counties, still have a large amount of talent in South Florida. That's more skill edge guys. DFW, that DFW has size and skill and quarterbacks right now. It's similar to Atlanta. There aren't very many places you go which has about every position. And linebackers with Pejon and Barnes, elite guys
in
about every position. That's the way Atlanta is right now. That's the way DFW is on I-20.
One last thing I wanted to mention about DFW. You know, it is a big area. It is a big metroplex. But recruits in that area seem to all know each other. You know, and I think that's the case. We talk about it a little bit with Jordan Johnson Rubel. It felt like he was related or had a cousin or was friends with every single recruit that signed D1 at some point last year in that cycle. We've talked about it again. I mean, Colin Simmons and Zeno Umeozulu, it felt like for a while early on, they were kind of a package deal. Riley Pettijohn and Elijah Bo Barnes, both guys right now in the linebacking group for 2025. Elijah Barnes during the Texas spring game is trying to get Riley Pettijohn to commit on the spot. He was pushing for him. He understands his importance to the Texas class, the type of ball player that he is. And again, what kind of duo the two of them could be at that linebacking spot. So for Texas, not only is it having success with the top guys. But, hey, those guys will turn back around and go recruit for you because of the type of players that they are and the kind of name that their weight that their name brings.
Yeah, no doubt. Tom Doyle, a good question here. I've always wondered when you visit these high schools and check out players, do you know their schedules? Do you call a coach? Do you have access to schools? a little bit of different parts of that. Like yesterday, obviously, you know the athletic period schedules. You know, so at Hastings, I'd been there earlier in the year. I bumped in about 11 when their athletic period is. Bumped in again. Did I call ahead of time on that? No. If you know a coach well, sometimes it's fun just to pop in. I used to do that at Gilmer when Jeff Traylor was the coach. I'd just be driving through East Texas. I'd just pop in the school, wouldn't even tell them just because it's kind of fun. But like on the trip to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, yeah, I did all that ahead of time. But it just depends on your coach relationships. It also depends the state you're in. Look, I mean, Coach Kelly at Saraland, you have to check in with him. He's had so many guys, as you should, and he has so much media coming through there. There's some places because he had Ryan Williams, he has KJ Lacy, he's had Antonio Coleman. So you have to check in there ahead of time. Now, you know, maybe you can pop in from time to time, but when spring practice is going on during the season, he has so much coming his way in terms of college coaches and media. There was two local medias there today. I was there. So you call ahead of time. Florida's kind of the wild, wild west and all this stuff, man. It's not the same setup as Texas or Georgia. It's, you know, you text ahead, you call ahead. Yeah, but it maybe there's not that set athletic period sometimes in the state of Florida. It's county to county. So it's kind of more of the wild, wild west when you're going in there a lot of times. So it varies from state to state. But in Texas, you know those athletic periods. You either have the morning, middle of the day, or afternoon leading into your football practice, spring practice. So generally, you do text, call ahead, set up your appointments. But it also depends on what type of relationship you have with those coaches. Sometimes it's just more fun to just show up and have a little fun with those guys. All right, man. Let's see. We have another super chat here, CJ, for Bobby Burton, beer cart tab today. Yeah, who's your surprise breakout player in 2024? Archmania has Alex January. CJ, what you got?
That's a good question. If we're talking about just the immediate early enrollee guys, I think you're going to see some Xavier Filsimi on special teams. Again, I think you see a good opportunity for him. I want to go Colton Vosick because I do think he is a different twitch. He has a different motor to him when he's completely healthy. I was actually at Westlake yesterday for their spring game, but it got me thinking. Whenever he was truly healthy at Westlake, there wasn't anybody in this area that could defend him. We saw a little bit of that in the spring game, two tackles for loss, probably a sack and a half as well. I was talking to somebody on the Texas staff the other day, and you know, they understood about the second half of the spring. There was a little bit of a flip turn for Colton Vosick, and I know that they've been getting on him a little bit. They hadn't yet seen what he could bring to the table because of some nagging injuries. But whenever he was fully healthy, he can certainly contribute in this, what we expect to be a really talented defensive end room for the Longhorns in 2024. That's a guy I think could certainly carve out a role for himself. Again, he's about 6'5", 6'6". He's super bendy, super twitchy. And I think he has a higher athletic ceiling than most folks are giving him at the moment. So I like Colton Vosick to be a good pick there. I also mentioned it last night on the winning drive, which Texas player I want to hear more of. Darian Gallette, very talented kid out of high school, got a little bit dinged up with an ACL his senior year. That's a kid that anchored the 4x2 at 220 pounds when he was at Marlin. So I want to see what he can bring to the table as well now that he's 100% healthy, 100% back on the field. That's a talented football player, and I think you see him at some sport, some part of this 2024 season.
A couple of things here. Ed Blake, is LSU no longer in the race for DK Moore? I'm sure they'll keep trying to recruit him. I don't expect he'll commit back to the same school. Who is DK Moore's NFL comp? Look, it's a tough one. They're a little different, but maybe Chris Olave. I mean, from a height, weight, a standpoint, I think DK Moore, Olave ran 4.39 in NFL combine. I think DK Moore's going to be a little bit faster than that. I'm not sure there's a great one there. He's not like Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle was extremely COD shifty guy. I'll think more on that. That's interesting. Then 1 hour, here you go, AJJ Sports, 1 hour away from the official NCAA 25 gameplay reveal. So yeah, we're coming up on that. So in less than an hour now, we've had some, I've missed some of this chat, but we've had some talk about linebackers here. Harold Perkins, Anthony Hill. Is DK a faster Jamar Chase? It's a good question. I mean, Jamar Chase, really good 50-50 guy. He was hurt at Under Armour that year. He broke his foot. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of him at that age versus just the tape and seeing him as a junior. He had that foot injury midway through his senior year. Well, I didn't even think of that. You have anybody on DK Moore, CJ? I think it's a tough one. He's a little different than most guys are.
Yeah, I think some folks might hear this as a knock, but, I mean, DJ Moore is a really talented wide receiver. I think there's a little bit of that in him, ability to make the plays underneath, and obviously he has speed to go down the field as well. I was actually trying to find his 40-yard dash coming out of the combine. I'm not exactly sure what that was. Let's see if it'll load for me, but 4.42, so probably a faster DJ Moore, but I think you see a little bit of that in him. He's twitchy. He's great routes. One little shake and he's by you. Creates separation very well. And again, I think we saw it a year last year. DJ Moore kind of played up to that potential. He was the only guy in Chicago, probably a top eight, top 10 wide receiver by the end of the season. We'll see again, but that's a guy for me. Tough to make these comps, Jerry, because he's so athletic. He's so freakish. I don't want to sell him short, but also at the same time, DJ Moore is a hell of a football player.
No, he is. He is. And I was looking here. Somebody asked about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown ran 4.48 at the combine. I mean, he wasn't a 6.983 cone, 4.8, 33 and a half vertical. So I think Antonio Brown was a great, great player without maybe being the great athlete that some of the other guys are at wide receivers. Garrett Wilson, from a size and testing standpoint, is probably going to be a guy people point to. I mean, if you look at Garrett Wilson, was 5'11 and 3 quarters, 183, 32-inch arm length, 4.38, 40. 20-yard shuttle wasn't great, 4.36, but vertical 36 broad jump. I think DK Moore is going to be, when his NFL combine day comes, he's going to be 4.05 in the shuttle. I think his chain of direction is going to be elite. Maybe not Jalen Waddle, which is just super freak special in one category. But that's how good I think DeCorian Moore is, guys. I think he's just I've just been doing this a long time. Man, he just moves different than a lot of guys. And then he'll go make plays on the ball as well. And he's a physical kid. What was Garrett Wilson's 40, 4.38 at the NFL Combine? He actually was faster. That was similar to A.D. Mitchell in that he was faster than I think people thought he would be. Now, that's a thing that makes a DeCorian more scary in a few years. And a Ryan Wingo is when these guys train for 3 months for their 40, like DeCorian Moore could go to an Under Armour camp a year ago and run a 4.4 on a laser, right? But it's crazy. These guys drive a couple hours. They drive an hour to come to the Under Armour camp. It's early in the morning at 9 a.m. They just kind of get out there and they're just super freaks and they just go do it, right? When you sit there and train, Xavier Worthy trained for that 40, right? These guys are training for this for 2-3 months leading up to the combine. DeCorian Moore, whatever people think he'll run, take about 0.6 or 7 off of that once he trains for a 40. So if you think he's a 4.35 guy after his junior year in college, he's probably going to go run 4.28 at the combine because you train for it, you perfect your start, you put everything into that because it, fair or not, it makes you a lot of money, CJ. So when you train for it, it's a lot different.
Do you train for the bench press ahead of time?
You should, but you know, some guys didn't. I mean, some guys did not, but they should have. Not Odell. Somebody's Odell Beckham. I know he's 4.42, but he played faster. True. Woodcrest, good question here. I think it's a good question. Are we headed for the golden age of Texas football? Man, look, I don't know. I mean, VY won a national championship. If Colt McCoy doesn't get hurt, if there's any Bama fans on there, yeah, I think Texas will beat Bama. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I think the key for Sark is, look, it's tougher now. You're moving to the SEC. We're headed for two super conferences in college sports, CJ. We're eventually going to have a 16-team playoff. It's going to be more difficult than ever to actually win a national championship in football. So I think the golden age may be different. I kind of looked at this the other day. Notre Dame over the last 7 years, I think they're, 73-17? Two college football playoff appearances, right? But they've had three-loss regular seasons. If Sark delivered that and that equaled four trips to the college football playoff, that might not be good enough for Texas fans where the expectations are now. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think from a media perspective, this may end up being the golden age of Texas football. Because it was
a little bit different in what the golden age was back in the day versus what it is now. Of course, perspective plays a big part of that. To enter a golden age, I think you have to win at least one, probably two national championships, just for the sense that you are the best team in the country over multiple years. Texas got close a year ago, obviously Final Four. If you're able to parlay that into yet another big finish in the college football playoff and potentially a college football national championship over the next couple of years, then the conversation begins. Until then, I don't think it's fair to the big teams, the big eras that Texas has had in the past. But I would say they're close. They're certainly very close entering the season as what you expect to be a top five team in the country. If they're able to hoist that trophy, Jerry, the conversation changes 100%.
I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Not out of the question, but VUI won a national championship. TJ Ford went to a Final Four, and Texas baseball won a national championship. I mean, that was a really good run at the University of Texas. I mean, only Final Four since 47, right? Hadn't been back to one. Got close a couple times. Only national championship since 70. Baseball, obviously, what they did, they went on won another one. But that was a 3-4 year period of time at Texas that if you equal that, it's a hell of a ride.
What a win. We're on the conversation, what a win for Texas baseball last night, coming back, walking off Kansas. If anybody's out at the game tonight, I'll be out there. So come say hello, trying to get the last little baseball in for Texas before, postseason begins.
Yeah, absolutely. That was pretty funny. Mark Valdez, we'll bring that back. Matthew did that one for us. Yeah.
Or the COVID year.
Yeah. But no, I mean, that's 9-1. Yeah.
Half the season didn't play, but.
Yeah. Before that, it was the loss to Deion Sanders at FSU in the Cotton Bowl, I believe that was. Correct, they finished fourth in 2020. There you go. I agree with Jerry. That was an insane run for the big three sports. Could be best ever for any school. Yeah, I mean, look. Florida. The
comparison. 2008?
Yeah, Florida won back-to-back national titles in basketball and won two in football in a similar time period. So, 2 and 3 years maybe it was. But. Florida had it rocking at that time. I mean, Billy Donovan, he got that done in basketball back when guys didn't leave immediately and go to the NBA. Al Horford, those guys came back. Joe Kim Noah, they came back for another year. Corey Brewer, and they actually did it back-to-back. Last back-to-back champion in college basketball before UConn this year, obviously. Got to talk about Connecticut here. Yeah, Connecticut basketball, I mean, look, Duke and North Carolina, their rivalry, get a lot of run. Connecticut, by far, is the best basketball program in the country over the last two decades plus. I mean, that's not even close at this point, man. Compare DeCorian Moore to Mr. Wingo. All right, go ahead, CJ. I'll come on the back end of this one.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, and I'll kind of piggyback off of it. Different body types. So I think you're seeing different receivers, of course. Ryan Wingo, a little bit bigger, has a different body frame. I think you see more contested catches, maybe a different, maybe a larger catch radius than DeCorian Moore. But I think DeCorian Moore has him in the athletic feet. Obviously, we've talked about 10-4 speed potentially. I think he gets in
as, and a, out junior, of as a junior,
as yeah. a junior. Yeah, so that could even get 10-3.
We're looking around for track, but yes,
I talked to DeCorian actually when he was down here for the Texas Relays, Jerry, and I was kind of poking at him. I was like, "Are we going to see 10-3 today?" And he goes, "He's like, that's the goal." So he's close, That's the expectation for him. You see more I think, get in and out of his cuts a little bit cleaner, a little bit quicker. He changes direction very well. But what Wingo does very well is combine speed with size. And, of course, the hands that we saw in the spring game and before that, I think they're very impressive. Just a little bit different in the terms of the strength that they bring to the table.
Yeah, so I agree with that. And look, they're different players. It's hard to compare. I mean, Roy Williams was a freak as an outside receiver, right? He was a super freak athlete like DeCorian Moore was, DeCorian Moore. That's what Roy Williams was as an outside receiver. I think Ryan Wingo, look, here's the bottom line. Here's the best thing I can say about both those guys. If they do it right, which is maximize their talent, they'll both be first-round picks. It's up to them to go do it. But if they go do it, they're going to be first-round picks. And I don't throw that out a lot with guys, but that's the level of talent both those guys have. But you got to go do it. You got to go maximize your talent. You got to have luck as far as injuries go. Ryan Wingo missed majority of his senior year with a knee injury, came back, had a great spring. And that's the other thing that was impressive about Ryan Wingo's spring, guys, is that he didn't play much his senior year because he had the knee injury, minor knee injury. But they set him out his senior season. So to come back and look the way he did in the spring is another thing, kind of sign that tells you how good Ryan Wingo could be. All right, guys, we have a couple time for a couple more questions here. Living rent-free, if Ryan Williams didn't classify, would he be ranked higher than DeCorian Moore? That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
I don't know if I have the answer to that. Ryan Williams on the field, his production was off the charts, right? He didn't even run track this year because he was preparing to reclassify. DeCorian Moore is a thicker kid. Ryan Williams is skinny, like Xavier Worthy. Not skinny, very sleek. So yep. You're talking 6 foot and a half, 6'1", 160, 162, 165. Very similar to Worthy, Kelshon Johnson build. Now, Ryan Williams is electric with the football in his hand. I've seen it in person. I mean, I just flip a coin, man. I mean, look, both those guys, again, I'll add him to the mix. He should be a first-round pick if he does it one day. I don't say that a lot about guys, but they should. Let's see if they go get it done, man. Somebody's asking to give DeCorian Moore's comp. We're struggling with that one a little bit. Maybe Garrett Wilson, but faster version.
Yeah, there's been a couple of questions about Michael Terry, the big athlete out of Alamo Heights down in San Antonio. Listen, Texas, I think is going in a different direction with their mold of wide receivers. We haven't necessarily seen Texas go out under Sarkisian and get that big body possession guy that doesn't possess that top-end speed. And I'm not saying Michael Terry isn't that guy, but he certainly brings a different mold to the wide receiving room than what Texas is currently pursuing with the Jamie French, Khalid Clockett, the Corian Moore. Put Kelshon Johnson in that mold as well. Of course, some programs are recruiting Michael Terry as a running back. I think he's a little too big for that as well. But right now, official visit happened a week ago to Nebraska. Baylor's also in the mix. I think you're going to see TCU become a big player in that one. I think Texas just has other options right now higher up on their wide receiving board at the moment.
Yeah, so, okay, UT boy, interesting. You went to the Wayback Machine, and I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with that. Santana Moss, 5'10", about 185, 180 coming out of high school. Super freak speed now. Super freak speed. I mean, you're talking about a guy that he was 4'3", 1. He was 5'10", 184. Didn't have the longest arms, 29-inch. I think DeCorian's got longer arms, but 8.5-inch hands, actually really small hands. DeCorian's bigger than that. But 4'3", 1, back in the day in the 40, before you really, really trained for it. Santana Moss was a 10'3 guy in high school, 42-inch vertical jump. So that's not a bad one athletically for DeCorian Moore, by the way. That's pretty good, UT boy. Congrats on that 9-pound bass you just pulled in. Santana Moss and DeCorian Moore are very similar athletically. All right, guys, we're about to get out of here. Thank you very much for joining in today, all 4,000 people. We'll be back from 1 to 2 for the Friday afternoon Longhorn live stream. Myself, Rod Babers, CJ, I believe you're going to be there as well. So we'll all come up with more comments and who does DeCorian Moore remind us all of. But UT boy, I think you're the winner so far. Santana Moss. That might be the one. I think DeCorian Moore has bigger hands, longer arms, but athletically, That's probably very similar. And Santana Moss nowadays training for the draft probably would have been in that Xavier Worthy category in the 40s. So, all right, CJ, any parting shots here before we say goodbye until the afternoon?
Hey, Jerry, you know who just birdied on one?
Scottie Scheffler.
Sure did. Tap in birdie.
Yeah, he's back. This is going to be one pissed off 66 today. Okay. Yep. Yeah, well, he didn't do better yesterday. Hold out on number one for Eagle, but this is going to be one pissed off 66 from Scottie Scheffler today. I think that look, we'll see what happens with Xander Schauffele. I think Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and maybe Tony Finau are going to come down the on last nine on Sunday. I think Rory and Scottie may battle this one out, and Tony Finau. If you haven't seen Full Swing Netflix series, if you do watch that on golf stuff, you'll become a fan of Tony Finau more than you are now. All right, guys, we will talk to you guys this afternoon. Have a good one.